I'm just going to jump in because I don't think we can hear, any of us can hear you, Anne.
Oh, hello, hello.
Yeah, you're back.
I mean, we lost the last minute, so we were all
mystified. Oh, no.
We'll you look so happy though in full flow, so we didn't want to
interrupt. Yeah, we're all sitting here just in anticipation, thinking, is it just our ears that have stopped working?
I know. Is it a new symptom of COVID? What's going on?
Where had I got to? And welcome to another episode of Somewhere in Between, the AIT podcast brought to you by the Royal College of GPs. I'm Anthony, I'm an ST3 working in London, and I'm also chair of the college's AIT community. And we're back with two regular co-hosts. So we've got Mira and Hatton with me, and I've also got Johannes, who's another trainee. Johannes, do you want to just introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Johannes. I'm an ST1 working in South London in Streatham. Currently doing my GP rotation.
Welcome to the podcast, Johannes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I also, for anyone that's listening, we are very conscious that we are four London-based trainees talking to you about our experiences. We do recognise that the world does exist outside of the M25, but we are doing our best to try and get more and more people from further afield on the podcast as well. So as always, if you'd like to get involved, then you can get in touch with us via the podcast email address, which is ait.chair@rcgp.org.uk, or you can catch any of us on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Anthony James.
I'm at Dr. Mira Kumar.
I'm at Dr._Hats.
And I'm not there, unfortunately, but you can contact everyone else.
Mira was also not on Twitter at the beginning of this, but we have managed to get her on there now, so I'm sure it's only a matter of time.
Yeah,
and eventually all of you will be on the Telegram group as well.
Yeah, it's actually a problem as well, because now I've got Twitter, it's more excuse to be on my phone all the time, which I'm trying to avoid as much as possible, but I can blame you guys for my social media addiction.
My screen time's actually gone down a bit during this whole thing. I'm not sure why that is. Probably because I'm spending more time watching the TV or something instead.
That's the same. I'm trying to avoid my phone as much as possible. I mean, it doesn't help that I'm mostly on night shifts, but at the same time, I'm trying to avoid looking at it.
Yeah. So on that note of night shifts, I guess it would be a good chance to just to check in with how everybody's doing. So Hatim, how's life been for the last couple of weeks since we last recorded?
So it's been really interesting in the emergency department. It's like we're waiting for a real peak to happen. But it's sort of a constant flow of patients, particularly in the afternoons. And then things tend to settle down by night. That's quite interesting as well, because when you think about diurnal variation and usually how people become more so hypoxic at nighttime or more breathless at nighttime with conditions such as asthma, it doesn't seem to be affecting our patients in the same way. So we're not seeing a flurry of patients usually overnight, mostly coming in sort of the afternoon time with COVID. And then with other problems, we are starting to see that increased flow again of patients coming in with other issues outside of COVID. So that's been particularly interesting to see how that's changing over time too.
For me, so I've actually been redeployed in a sense. So I was working in the hospital, but have a background of pretty significant asthma. So I've been redeployed back to primary care and doing some 1-1-1. So it's been quite interesting to do the shift back into the community and sort of realizing the different sort of challenges that are being posed in primary care as opposed to what was in the hospital. But we've had some really sort of positive stories in our community. We've had elderly patients with COVID who have managed to sort of overcome video technology using smartphones so they can have appointments with us, which is amazing, but also coming through the illness the other side and are feeling better in themselves with the community who have been helping them out. But similarly, you know, tales where people haven't done as well. So working together as a practice, trying to help each other cope with what's changing in our patient population. But a story I did want to say is that obviously there's been this whole debate on PPE about adequate provision of it, whether it's available for in primary care and in care homes and things like that, and very politicized at the minute. But our local college has been using their 3D printer to deliver printed visors for us pretty much every week, which has been an amazing thing. It's allowed people to see patients and feel safe about doing it, and the patients feel safe seeing us as well. So that's been some really good stuff going on around us.
on PPE, it's still one of those areas that constantly continues to evolve in a department. My registrar overnight has decided to buy his own PPE. Comes in this white suit that he can zip up right to the top, and he looks like an astronaut. It's amazing. The patients love it. They completely confused when he goes to see them. So it's been really interesting to see everyone's reactions to him whenever they walk in.
They think he's part of some sort of top secret government employee for like UFOs or something.
Absolutely.
I accidentally scared a young girl doing a home visit the other day because I went to the wrong house number and just showed up in full PPE. And this 6 or 7 year old girl just kind of peeked up to see who is ringing the door. And I was, this very strange looking man, fully robed. But mum came to the door and tried to work out what was going on. So hopefully it wasn't too much psychological damage down there.
I don't know if this is an awful thing to admit or not, but I have yet to have to wear PPE. Is that a bad thing or not? I guess our practice has done a really good job of thinking about how we triage patients, and we've now got our hot hub running in the area that I work in, and it's being staffed by so it's being run by our local primary care network, so 4 GP practices, and it's being run by staff members from each of those on the different days, and we can refer anybody to them who will have COVID related symptoms, and they're also doing all of the home visits for the area, and they've worked it on a all of the partners are helping to support it, and then they have asked any of the salary doctors if they would like to be part of it. At the minute, they haven't approached trainees because they're just getting everything up and running, and I guess want to make sure it's running smoothly before trainees get involved. But I guess in the next few weeks, if trainees want to work there, they'll be able to. But there's no kind of demand or requirement that you'd have to work there if you don't feel comfortable doing that for whatever reason that might be.
So Anthony, if you're not wearing PPE, does that mean that you're not seeing any face-to-face patients, or do you not necessarily have to wear it for everyone?
So if we're seeing patients face-to-face, we are now wearing PPE for the vast majority of that, unless it's something where there's literally no, the person who's seeing them has no suspicion of COVID, but most of us are wearing PPE for any of the face-to-face stuff. But I just, to be honest, I've been on annual leave for the last 2 weeks, so that's why I haven't had to use it. But just being back in the practice the last few days, there hasn't been anybody that I've needed to see face to face. And also we've got some really good physicians associates who work in our practice who see a lot of the face to face triaged patients. So at the minute we're kind of working as if all the GPs in the practice are a duty doctor. So they'd normally triage into their slots for face to face stuff. Particularly if a lot of it is kind of not simple, but more kind of routine general practice things, whether we think it's like a UTI or if it's kind of like some eczema or something like that, things that the physician's associates can assess and handle and then feedback to whichever GP is supervising them. So it's worked quite well so far. And before I went off on annual leave, things were getting set up, and everything since then seems to have continued to run pretty smoothly, which is really good. And I guess also I feel quite lucky because I think for a lot of trainees in London, actually, we've had some protected teaching time, which has remained in place. A lot of us are still getting supervision and tutorials. So for us, our GP trainee group is still meeting regularly with on a Wednesday afternoon to have a shorter Zoom session. And then we're checking in with our training program directors one evening every week, which is actually really nice just to kind of feedback more informally about how we're doing. It's a good check-in for everybody. What was I going to say? I've like literally lost the point of what I was about to say there. But I think that's been another nice touch anyway, that actually some of that has been able to continue despite everything else that's going on.
Yeah. And I think the adoption or acceptance of more technology within primary care is something I've definitely seen change, at least in the practice that I'm working at. So things like rashes, things like that, patients feel way more comfortable taking a picture and emailing it to us. Although sometimes you get a bit alarmed because when we open them up, they're hyper zoom. So you just see up someone's nose when they're trying to show you something on their face. So we've had a lot of sort of funny moments of strange pictures, but on the whole has been relatively really a useful simple way of using technology that patients feel comfortable with. And I think the other thing is also using our other members of staff in a way that they feel safe, but also can help out with what's going on. So like you said, Ant, about physician associates, for us, we have a social prescriber and we have a pharmacist. So although they would be used to seeing people face to face, they're doing a lot more calls on the phone, which I think means that they're able to speak to more people in a set day than they would do when they'd had face to face set appointments. So we're getting a lot of queries about medications, especially supply of certain meds like HRT and things that are going on, and we're able to sort of direct them to other people that can use their time doing that. So that's been really helpful for us in our practice.
I remembered my point that I wanted to make. It's lucky that our training and the check-ins with our TPDs have continued, and during quite a few of those, there's been a few people who've said, I kind of feel a bit redundant working in general practice at the minute, because for lots of GPs, actually at the minute, demand has dropped quite a lot. And that's true also in lots of hospital departments for like other presentations that you might see in lots of A&E departments as well. But I was having a few conversations today, and I think that's actually one of the most important things that as a profession we need to do, because anything that we see in general practice is helping to relieve the burden on another part of the system as well. Yeah, I think a lot of the something that's really important to think about for all GPs is the way that we perceive ourselves. And yes, we might not be working in the same conditions as people that are working in an intensive care unit, but actually we're still adding a huge amount of value. And as people get more used to working in the new ways that COVID has forced us all to, there's going to be once things start to settle down, there's going to be a huge wave of demand that hits general practice from all of the people who've delayed presenting for various reasons over the last few months, and that's going to be something that we all have to deal with. So actually I think being able to prepare for that and being able to alleviate any burden that we can on the wider system as GPs is actually massively valuable. So it doesn't feel like the heroics that are going on in the hospital, but actually we're doing a really important role still in general practice.
And the patients are still incredibly grateful for it. So when a patient thanks me and I kind of explain to them that we're not completely overrun and we feel like we're not maybe contributing as much as some of our colleagues, they're still incredibly grateful that we're there for them when they need us, and you know that they're still really happy about us being ready to listen to their problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we all have a role to play. Most GP practices stayed open over the Easter weekend in terms of the Good Friday and Easter Monday, and I think that probably helped relieve some burden from hospitals, whereas, you know, notoriously bank holiday weekends are usually when hospitals get slammed because they can't get primary care facilities usually, and we were quite busy with phone calls on the Easter Monday, but you're right, the workload has definitely varied, and moving from hospital to primary care, I did feel maybe I would be less useful, but I agree with you, Anthony, I don't think that's the case, and I think the work balance will shift as the weeks come on. We're all sort of all in this kind of picture together, a bit of a limbo together, as restrictions get lifted and the course pattern of the disease changes. And of course, our big worry about chronic disease management and perhaps a lack of it for some patients at the moment who are too scared to come in. I think we're going to see a much bigger onslaught in the weeks and months, possibly years to come, as a result of everything that's gone on.
Mira, you're right. And the other thing to remember is that actually the patient load as a whole has reduced. It's the same in secondary care. So the amount of patients that we're seeing coming in is significantly lower. I mean, some of the ED regs are saying, I've worked for a very long time in the department, and consultants have said they've never seen the board look so clear at certain times. I mean, we managed to get the board completely empty and the department completely empty, which has not happened for about 15 or 20 years. So overall, the load is reduced. It's just the acuity of the patients that are coming in is higher, and patients are coming in younger, more unwell, that you would not expect to see at any other time of the year. So it's just something to remember that if you're feeling like that in general practice, it's actually because people are being more responsible for their self-care and also being more aware of their surroundings and the risks with actually seeking healthcare unless they're extremely unwell.
And just to be mindful again, we obviously are all reporting our experiences, as we said, from London. So if you are experiencing something that's completely different to that, or it is actually maybe business as usual because you may not have many COVID cases in your community, wherever you may be, we'd love to hear from you and about how things are going wherever you might be, or if you've been redeployed somewhere else, just to hear about that.
Yeah.
So we're recording this on the news. So I know this is very time sensitive, but on the news, they have just announced that lockdown has been extended for 3 weeks. And I know we wanted to discuss a little bit about how we're dealing with lockdown and the things that we're doing to keep ourselves happy and healthy during this time. So do any of you have any tips for how we can take this forward going through another potential month of lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I guess from my perspective, just before lockdown happened, we moved into a new flat. So it's made for an interesting time of trying to decorate when you can't really get many supplies, but also doing most of your shopping online. So what I've realized is it's really nice to shop for things because you think, oh, I've got this budget and I can do this, that, and the other. But when you can't actually feel what something feels like or really realize the size of something. So a good example of that is we ordered a rug the other day. It was like a matchstick in the living room. So we're going to go through the whole rigmarole of sorting that out. But we've just been taking the flat project up. So painting a room at a time or sorting things out. So that's been taking up most of our time, to be honest, and going out for exercise when we can with the weather and reading and that sort of stuff. So that's been sort of my way of getting around about. How about you, Johannes? What have you been up to?
So I've actually been in my element with social distancing. I've been looking for an excuse to be more antisocial, and it's finally come. So I'm reaping the benefits. But I've been doing lots of bike rides over the Easter weekend. I've been slightly pushing the limits of the recommended 1 hour of exercise, but being as responsible as possible, staying away from others. But yeah, my bike has been my main source of happiness during lockdown. It's keeping me sane. And relatively healthy.
And what about you, Anthony?
Well, I've had actually a surprisingly good time during lockdown as well. So as I said, I had the last couple of weeks off work, and we were meant to be going on holiday, and I thought about being one of the weeks, but I actually thought, yeah, it would be nice to just have a couple of weeks to be able to switch off from at least the kind of clinical side of things. I've obviously been doing a lot of RCGP AIT related bits and pieces. But it was actually really great. So I've done loads of different bits and pieces around the house. I've sorted out our garden. Like when I was growing up, my dad has always been a bit of a wannabe handyman anyway, like would never get somebody in to do any work around the house or the garden. He knew how to do it all. He knew how to like put shelves up or like do everything in the garden. It was amazing. And I'm literally the least practical person in the entire world until the last 2 weeks, where we decided that we would take on a bunch of different projects ourselves. So I've now got all of the like various power tools and like bits, like tools for the garden and stuff, and have actually like got on pretty well with making what was already like fine, like a nice place to be, at least when you have to be there all the time. Because normally like our garden, we would just head out, like we live really close to a park, we would just head over there rather than having to spend much time in the garden. But actually, with just a couple of days over the long weekend, sorting a few bits and pieces out, we've like managed to make a really nice space. So we feel really lucky that we've got that.
And how about you, Hatim?
So yeah, I mean, one of the benefits that we do have is actually we do get to go to work and we get to see people and interact with people at work. So that's obviously been quite nice. And it's important to recognize that it's all checking with your friends and family, because they might not have that opportunity and they might be quite isolated during this time. And mental health is a big thing to take into account. But from my own point of view, we're just trying to do new things and learn new skills. So doing lots of cooking. We actually decided that we're going to finally learn a language. We've been talking about it for a while, so we really want to learn Spanish. So who knows, future episode in Spanish, guys? Probably
yep,
not.
Yeah.
We're just really trying to pick up as many new skills as possible and just develop ourselves during this time. And then also have proper downtime and just relax and saving grace of Netflix when you really don't have anything to do.
Oh yeah, Netflix. Has everyone watched that Tiger King documentary?
Oh, don't get me started. It's just mental, isn't it? I feel lots of people have seen it, or the ones who haven't have seen enough memes about it. That they know. Well, Johannes is looking mystified. So
I started seeing people like putting Carol Baskin comments on everything on social media. I had no idea what was going on. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my to-do list.
Oh yeah, that's why I thought it should be the opening to this like when Bryn does his little nice snippet at the beginning. It should be one of us saying like, "Hello, all you like cool cats and kittens." Like, Anyway, yeah, obviously we've all, other than Johannes, have all been watching too much Netflix.
Well, I'm a YouTube boy. YouTube's been serving me incredible numbers of videos about how to pick locks. So that's my new lockdown skill, is lock picking during lockdown.
Slightly concerning, Johannes, for sure.
Well, apparently it's legitimate and legal, and it's called lock sport. So that's
Have you given it a go? Have you cracked some locks yet?
Well, you can buy lock picking sets on Amazon, which come with a transparent lock. Sorry, there are other shopping services available. And yeah, you can just get started. There are loads of tutorials. And it's really soothing.
I tell you when that can be really useful. In the hospital, when the managers decide to hide away the PPE and the scrubs, I'm going to have a chat with you about that.
Give me a call. I'll be there.
So lock picking aside, obviously I think social distancing and isolation for all of us has been quite different. Some of us live with partners, some of us live on our own, and I know from colleagues and people how tricky it can be, especially when people have been unwell with COVID type symptoms and had to self-isolate away from the rest of their family. That can obviously be really difficult when you've got kids, and I mean none of us here have children, but what it's like to have children at home if they're not able to go to school or nurseries because of closures and things, and how homeschooling works. I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to help out with homework. I don't think I was ever that good at it to start off with. So yeah, I think that's just another massive challenge that I am I'm not glad that I don't have to do it. I would love to have children at some point, but I think on top of everything else, I'm just like very much in awe of people who are managing to balance so many different priorities at once.
Yeah.
It's incredible how the community have come together. Sorry, Mira, just jumping in there. I mean, there's obviously the PE lessons with, is it Joe Wilkes? Yeah. And there's so much things like that just to keep kids entertained, and that, at least that's helping people while trying to care for their kids and also continue their jobs. Because a lot of people I know are working from home as well. So it's trying to find that balance between the two, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've also got massively into TikTok over the last few weeks as well. Like, I can seemingly spend probably, I shouldn't say, but probably like at least an hour just like flicking through my phone, just looking at nothing. But it's literally some of the most funny, like entertaining stuff I've seen for a long time, just on TikTok, of people capturing their lockdown experiences and everything else that's on there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even really know what TikTok was up until about 5 days ago, when I just found my husband just endlessly laughing and scrolling. And I was like, well, what is he reading? Is it a really interesting article, or, you know, something intellectual that we can both learn? No, it was just videos of people, but very amusing, like, nonetheless.
I love it. It's so good. Yeah. And it's bad because me and my husband are both super obsessed with it. So I'll sometimes type be on my phone and then just like stop for a second. I can hear him downstairs like flicking through his phone as well, listening to TikTok stuff. It's just never ending at the minute.
You've recorded one yourself, haven't you, Anthony? You've just not posted.
Not yet, but I'm definitely thinking about it. I'm gonna add it to my list of like lockdown musts, is like get started posting stuff on TikTok as well.
We can have like a weekly TikTok update, Anthony, and we can just post the videos along with the podcast for everyone to enjoy. Or you can include it in the somewhere in between somewhere in between email that comes out every month, just Anthony's TikToks for the month.
Maybe we should have like an RCGP TikTok account.
Fascinating. I'm sure lots of people will probably post in it, to be honest.
Okay, there we go. That's the next project, RCGP TikTok.
And I think the other thing that we wanted to talk about, obviously, because we're talking about all the positives that we've experienced and how we're sort of using resources or TikTok or whatever it may be to kind of get through this time, but also being really, really aware about mental health and well-being that Hatim sort of touched upon briefly. So I know that at the hospital, lots of hospitals have lots of well-being centres that are available for doctors through the day and night, with kind of chill out rooms and breaks and things. But I think anxiety is going to be like a big thing on people, weighing on people's minds, whether it's for their families or about their patients or for themselves. Is that something you guys have come across? I certainly have, speaking to patients. The number of calls regarding mental health and anxiety has sort of exponentially risen over the past 2 weeks, for me at least. How about you guys, Anne?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a massive issue. And also people having to deal with, you know, like bereavements, family members that are unwell. So I think just as a kind of like personal reflection, one of our fellow AIT reps lost their father in the last few days from COVID. And, you know, many people will be dealing with similar situations of loved ones sadly passing away, whether that's from COVID or something else during the time being. And obviously there are also restrictions on people traveling, the number of people that can attend funerals or be in hospital with people when they're really unwell. So I think dealing with some of that is going to be huge. And also I just wanted to say like a shout out to our colleague who is going through a really difficult time at the minute, and that all of us are thinking of her as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about you, Johannes, in your patch of primary care? Have you had much in the way of mental health and things like that cropping up?
Yeah, we have had quite a few patients. I've noticed that there's a lot of just general health anxiety out there at the moment, and it's not necessarily related to COVID itself, but I think people having more time alone during lockdown has given people time to dwell on symptoms that they're worried about. And we've had quite a few patients who were just incredibly anxious about, you know, relatively minor underlying symptoms. But equally, yeah, lots of people are anxious about COVID as well. I think the mental health patients that have been in touch, they kind of surged at the beginning of lockdown. I haven't had so many in the last week and a half, but there's definitely been a noticeable increase.
Yeah, and in terms of health anxiety, I think that's something that even some of us are experiencing as well. It's that you feel a certain symptom, you think, oh, is this? Or, you know, am I a bit breathless because I just climbed up a flight of stairs or not? I don't know. I think, and checking in with your colleagues as well. I know speaking to the administrative staff at the surgeries, obviously they're frontline staff and they're essential workers, but sometimes people aren't really asking them about how they're doing because they're not necessarily clinical patient facing or medical secretaries and things like that, because they're still having to use public transport, come into work, are at the same sort of risks that we are all facing as well. So, you know, taking time to check in on what's going on for them, but also a lot of the resources that have been put on the RCGP COVID hub. So in terms of useful videos, links about managing stress and looking after well-being, a lot of those you can direct your non-clinical colleagues to as well. So I've definitely recommended, I know the Headspace app is free for NHS workers for the first month, and that's eligible to everybody. So, you know, if you can do one kind thing, although you're probably doing lots and lots of kind things at the moment, is to look out for some of the people that may not be as clinical or patient facing, but still working at this time. What do you think, guys?
I completely agree, actually. So, If you think about it, one of the beauties, and we've talked about it a little bit in this podcast, is the fact that we work in a multidisciplinary team. We've talked about social prescribers, talked about physician associates, and of course that includes the clinical sort of administrative team, and in the hospital it includes the porters, the radiographers, all sorts. And I think it's important we all come together and support each other through this time. And I have seen that in the hospital, in terms of we're not necessarily working in our silos anymore. We're now working together as a team, and we're all working towards one cause, and that's supporting our patients through this time, wherever we are. And let's hope that continues in the future too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the other thing also is, I know we sort of often say things to patients and maybe not practice what we preach and all of these things, but talking about it, I've definitely found has really, really helped. So even, for instance, us recording this podcast quite regularly has been a really helpful debrief of talking about the experiences we have gone through. And I know people have their sort of fractions of WhatsApp groups or Zoom meetings and talking about work or not work related things. It's much easier to sort of share what you're thinking, I think, because often you find you're not on your own in all of that.
Yeah, I think from a personal perspective, also like something that I feel like I've been a bit missing over the last you know, few weeks while we've all been in lockdown, is those like corridor conversations where you potentially have a chance to like vent or get something off your chest, which you might not necessarily do otherwise. And just like bumping into people after you've had like a particularly stressful, you know, it might be a consultation or like a difficult meeting or whatever it might be. Actually, that was something that's sometimes difficult to find when you're doing stuff virtually. So I think probably a few phone calls that I've had with friends, I've definitely like hijacked a bit to just end up venting and like voicing some frustrations. But I think that's an important thing for all of us to do, because, you know, regardless of what you're doing, where you're working, we're all going to be experiencing some really difficult things. And so being able to express those difficult emotions throughout whatever network you're a part of, I think is definitely important. And I think, you know, we as GP trainees have like a few different ways of doing that, including our TikTok group, which I don't think anybody other than me and Mira are a part of on this podcast anyway. But, you know, I think there you can feel a sense of the frustration that lots of GP trainees are experiencing. And I think that's been useful for a decent number of them to be able to realize that they're not alone. And also, I guess from our perspective as reps, it's also good to pick up on some of the general themes and issues that people are experiencing around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think the other thing about all of this is that this isn't going to stop just when the pandemic finishes, whenever that may be. There's going to be long-term ramifications on all of this for people, whether it is training, whether it is where they are in their lives, or even if they had events planned like weddings or honeymoons or anniversaries, various other things, or big birthdays. I know, Aunt, your grandma had a big birthday recently, didn't she? So, and had to miss out on that.
Yeah, 100. And then, you know, the most tragic thing is that a few days later, she had quite a bad fall at home. She's okay. She's okay. Oh. She didn't have to go to hospital or anything. But, it was interesting because the paramedic came to visit her at home and they were like, she basically had like fallen overnight and had been on the floor for most of the night. And so, you know, they were like, under usual circumstances, we probably would take her into hospital to like, you know, do a few different tests and bits and pieces. But we were all, I mean, I found out afterwards, but I think rightly they were like very apprehensive to do that. And my parents are both like very pragmatic about it. And my gran also like had no wish to go into hospital. So she stayed at home and actually she's been absolutely fine. My dad had like stayed with her the night after she fell over. And then the next day her carer came in. So my dad went home for a couple of hours and then got back and found her doing her ironing in the kitchen. So she really like bounced back very quickly. She's like an amazingly resilient 100-year-old. But it definitely, COVID is having an impact on the way that we think about how care is delivered to different types of populations in terms of who we admit into hospital, who we don't, the level of risk that we're willing to take with certain patients as well has definitely changed over the last few weeks.
But it's also the resilience of our elderly population as well. I have to say, I've been so impressed with the way people have come through and sort of getting through things. I did a video consultation last week with a couple who were in their 90s. Both had been through the Second World War doing different roles. And the one thing they could tell me, although, you know, relatively unwell at the minute, is that they were saying, well, at least the rations are better this time round. So, you know, there is a sort of little bright sparks to every bit of the day, I think.
Yeah, you're never going to overcome like the war mentality that cohort of our population have. Like, yeah, COVID is nothing in comparison to some of the stuff that they have been through many times before. So, yeah, I think it's actually quite, to me, speaking to like some of my elderly patients, like puts things in perspective and actually gives like quite a positive balance to my day, just hearing some of their thoughts on it. Because actually they're very pragmatic and often, you know, very sensible about what the situation is.
Awesome. Yes, Anthony, what did you want to say?
No, this is a completely different note, so sorry if I'm like detracting from a more serious topic, but something we didn't talk about in our survival guide for lockdown was lockdown haircuts, and I just wondered what everyone was doing about their hair during the
I hear that because it's continuing to grow out and it's getting longer and longer, and my wife is completely insistent that she wants to cut it, but I still am not to the point that I am trusting her with it.
Your wife is a braver woman than me. I've been given the clippers in my hand and told to do the haircut, and I point blank refused because I feel like the fallout of a terrible haircut probably is not gonna bode very well. I think for women it's probably a little bit easier on that front, but how about you, Yanis?
Well, I was raised on bad haircuts. So my mum cut my hair until I was about 14 or 15, and there were times when scissors couldn't be found and knives emerged. So the results,
photos for Yanis then.
This is, yeah, potentially safeguarding issues as well. But the results were always pretty fascinating in terms of what I went to school with the next day. So I think anything I do to myself with clippers would be less terrible for me and for everyone who had to look at me.
Please no one get any ideas about getting the knives out to try and get their hair, please.
I can testify that knives do not work for cutting hair.
I have to say, on the Zoom call, all three of you look like you've got very reasonable manes at the moment, including producer Bryn as well. He's sort of turned his camera off for this portion, but we'll include him in that as well.
We should maybe take a screenshot now and then at the end of lockdown, see how things have deteriorated.
Yeah, that would actually be quite good. I have not had a haircut yet, but I have cut my husband's hair, and it actually went amazingly well. Like he said it's not the best haircut I've ever had, but it's also by no means the worst, and it gave it a 7 out of 10. So I think that's pretty good going, to be honest.
So Anthony, yeah, that was the only reason you wanted to talk about this topic, was just to
break. Yeah, I was so worried about doing it before. I was like, oh god, I'm really gonna mess this up. But it was quite a smooth process. I was happy with it.
Well, on the bright side, Anthony, you can always jump into barbering on the side. A little side hustle for you there.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I'm definitely not letting him touch my hair ever over the next few months. I would rather just let it grow than let him do the same.
And then I think, so we were all talking about how we were managing our own lockdowns and sort of things that were worrying us and everything else. I think an interesting thing for me has been sort of people, my family who live all around the world, wanting to check in far more often. I don't know if other people have sort of experienced that as well. So we've had a few family first, which has been really nice. So last Sunday, we actually did a Zoom call that involved all of my extended family from America, Canada, Dubai, India, Singapore. And we were sort of coordinating our time zones. We all had cameras there. My like 95-year-old grandma was part of it. And, you know, we've never done that to date. And it was something where I thought, actually, why have we not done this before? Because this technology has existed before COVID started and lockdown started. So at least for my family, it's definitely bringing us all a bit closer, which is something positive that I can say out of it. And, you know, if I've not FaceTimed my mum by sort of about 7 o'clock every day, then I'm getting a panicked call. So I need to watch out for that today.
I think that's true. I mean, before this all started, you know, most evenings I was like busy doing something. There'd sometimes be, you know, I feel guilty for saying this, but there would be a good few weeks that sometimes went past without me properly like talking to my parents or my grandparents. And definitely like having no option but to be at home in the evenings has been like a really good chance to in some ways like reflect on some of the things that are most important, like actually spending time with my husband, talking to my family more, doing other things which I did a lot of before, like cooking, which I really enjoy, and just have like lost the time or the inclination to do over recent years, I guess. Has been like a really positive experience, actually, just like reconnecting with things that are important and give you satisfaction, which you might not necessarily prioritize during regular everyday life. Profound.
No. I think we probably are all in agreement there. And I think in future episodes, podcast episodes, we want to hear from people about their tips on lockdown, what's going on with them at work. And we just kind of wanted this episode just to talk about how we are all feeling, because I think we're seeing a lot of statistics and numbers and graphs, but we are all human at the end of it, and we all have feelings, and sometimes it's difficult to completely switch off from the starkness of what is happening, but there is always nice things that are also happening as well. I think a thing that struck us all that has come out this week is a video that has been made. I think Ant probably knows a little bit more about the source of it.
Yeah, so it's a video that's been put together by people working in the NHS. Let me just find it.
Mira, we gave him so much of a heads up there. I love it.
I thought he had it open on a tab already. It's all right.
There are way too many tabs open. But here, yeah, so basically this is a video featuring UK residents and also people of foreign heritage reciting an anti-racist poem, which has highlighted the crucial role that immigrant workers are playing during the COVID-19 outbreak. The video is called You Clap For Me Now. It was written by Darren James Smith and features Britons with Black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds who have all been key workers during the global pandemic. And it includes doctors, nurses, teachers, shopkeepers, delivery drivers and many people who've previously experienced discrimination in one form or another. So we were just going to play that video to kind of close off this week's edition of the podcast. So I'm going to play that now.
So, it's finally happened.
That thing you were afraid of.
Something's come from overseas
and taken your jobs.
Made it unsafe to walk the streets.
kept you trapped in your home?
A dirty disease.
Your proud nation gone.
But not me.
Or me.
Or me.
Or me.
No, you clap for me now.
You cheer as I toil.
Bringing food to your family.
Bringing food from your soil.
Propping up your hospitals.
Not some foreign invader.
A delivery driver.
Teacher.
Lifesaver.
Don't say go home.
Don't say not here.
You know how it feels for home to be a prison.
You know how it feels to live in fear.
So you clap for me now.
All this love you are bringing.
But don't forget when it's no longer quiet.
Don't forget when you can no longer hear the birds singing.
Or see clearer waters
that I cross for you.
To make lives filled with peace.
And bring peace to your life too.
Come, all you Gretas.
You Malalas.
You immigrants.
See what we have learned.
It only takes the smallest thing
to change the world.
And the video basically ends with a few just lines which says, to every carer, key worker, volunteer and neighbour from Britain or overseas who put their lives on the line to help beat coronavirus, we say thank you. And we promise we will remember. And then there's a nice hashtag, we will remember, which you can use on social media as well.
Thanks, Anthony, for sharing it. I think the impact of that video is profound. I think all of us are quite emotional right now. And it just shows the incredible contribution that the population as a whole and the community as a whole gives during this time and during normal times as well.
Yeah, definitely. Powerful words.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really nice if you know, we do see some good come out of all of this, and we kind of remember the lessons that we're going to learn as we all get through this together. I'm also glad that there were some power chords at the end of that, because I'm very much missing the fact that Eurovision's not around this year. So that's that stood me a good stead.
Yeah, if you've seen that people are doing every weekend, or they're doing like an old edition of Eurovision, which you can watch. In theory, you're meant to like watch it on YouTube together, like at home, all at the same time, and then like post about it on Twitter and social media and stuff to relive some of the magic of Eurovision. Yeah, that's I am definitely missing out on Eurovision this year. I am a big Eurovision fan.
Well, Eurovision aside, I think we'll probably leave it there for this week's episode. But not at all. We've all got our likes. But no, thank you to everyone for listening. And as we said, we really look forward to hearing from you, getting some feedback about what you might want to be hearing here. But also, hopefully, this is just some easy listening for otherwise maybe a difficult week.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Somewhere in Between. Again, you can always contact us on the podcast email, which is ait.chair@rcgp.org.uk, or you can find us on Twitter at Dr. Anthony James, at Dr. Meera Kumar, and at Dr._Hats.
I think that's right.
Yeah. And Johannes will also be joining us on Twitter in the very near future, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Stay safe, take care, and speak to you all next time.
Bye.
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 Sorry, Bryn, I feel like we've got a lot of for you there.
You've given me plenty of work to do anyway.
Yeah, sorry about that.